Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
So 1 Samuel 30 verse 1 says, "Now when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, the Amalekites had made a raid against the Negeb and against Ziklag. They'd overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one, but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him raised their voices and wept till they had strength no more to weep. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because all the people were bitter in soul, for each for his sons and daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord." Let's take your seats. We're going to have a special presentation.
So for those of you watching this who don't know who I am, my name is Nelly. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. And if you're visiting with us, we're so glad you could join us today. I'm actually right now in the United States attending our world conference for Every Nation Ministries globally, representing for us at Every Nation Brisbane in Orlando, Florida. So pray for me as I'm suffering in the sweltering heat of Florida. It was 25 years since the Toronto Raptors started as a franchise in Canada, as the primary basketball franchise in Canada for the NBA. Of course, there was the Vancouver Grizzlies, but they moved to Memphis. And so it was the sole NBA franchise for a long period of time. They were the joke of the NBA because it was in the hockey nation, right? So everybody there was watching hockey. Nobody was watching basketball. So it took them 25 years up until this year when they won the NBA championship. And they went through a lot of trials. They had a player by the name of Vince Carter, who was an amazing dynamic player, a dunker, but he didn't make it past a certain point of the playoffs, and then he suddenly signed with another team. And so you saw another player by the name of Chris Bosh go to my favorite team, the Miami Heat, just leave because the trial was too hard. They couldn't break through. The general manager this year and the president of operations there in Toronto made a wild decision by trading the most influential player to the San Antonio Spurs to gain a player who was legendary in his own right but had only played 9 games because of injury. And so his name was Kawhi Leonard, for those of you who are watching this and don't watch basketball. But he basically allowed the team to ride on his back and took them to a championship. And Toronto broke through the struggle, broke through the wall of defeat and mockery for so many years. And now Canada is the champions of the NBA. And yes, I am a bandwagon fan, as you can see. But this is all for an example of what we want to talk about today, because a lot of us will face struggles. A lot of us will face periods in our lives where we will see these struggles overcome us. You know, we're promised one thing. We have high hopes for one thing, but it takes a period of 1 month, 1 year, 25 years sometimes to actually see these things come into fruition. And these things can even format themselves in the form of a wall. When we think about walls, like the wall in Jerusalem, the Great Wall of China, the wall that was torn down between East Germany and West Germany, now making it one unified nation, we can see that walls can be good because they can protect us from unwanted enemies, but walls can be bad in terms of dividing us from other people. And we need to discover what those walls are. Now, I'm reminded of what I used to do as a youngster. I used to play a lot of electronic games, go down to the arcade, and there was one game, and I'm showing my age by telling you what this game was called. It was called Space Invaders. How many of you watching this remember Space Invaders, right? You've got this 8-bit little spaceship shooting at enemies, but all it has in front of it are these little protective walls, and the enemies are trying to shoot down that wall so that you have nothing to protect you. And so the objective is to try to kill all the enemies by staying behind these walls before they penetrate the walls and get to you and attack you. And so a lot of what I want to talk today about is the walls and the struggles that we will all face not just as Christians, but as people in general, and how God has called us to walk through these walls. So in the scripture that was just read in 1 Samuel 30, we read about David. Now, David goes through this process where he's not yet king, but he's been anointed to become king one day. He's anointed, but not yet appointed. There's a 20 to 25 year gap between the time when he was anointed to become king to the time he was appointed to become king. And there is this period where God, in this 20 to 25 years, is working on him. He goes through so much hard stuff. And check this out. The king at the time was a king by the name of Saul, who hated his guts, hated him. So jealous of David, because he saw that David was loved by the people. He was more successful in battle than Saul was. He was a charismatic figure, and he was loved by his son. His son's name was Jonathan, and they were best buddies, best friends. So you can imagine the tension in that household. When Jonathan would come home, he had to choose all the time, do I follow daddy or do I follow this friend of mine named David? Yet David continued to serve Saul as a leader in Saul's army. Now imagine that, working under a leader who hates your guts, can't stand you. But David chose to follow him. David chose to serve him. And it all came to a head at this major battle where David is out in this battle with the soldiers, and they kill off the enemies, and they come back celebrating, only to find in a place called Ziklag that the Amalekites had completely wiped out their families and burned down their cities. So the very soldiers that fought alongside David, who were for him, who were celebrating and singing with him, all of a sudden turned upon him. Now think about that as a wall. Think about that as a struggle, right? You're serving under a king who can't stand you, and yet you're fighting his battles. And then you're fighting along soldiers who love you one moment, but the moment that they face a trial, they turn on you. David does what we should all do at the wall. Easier said than done, but the Bible says that he strengthened himself in the Lord. He had nowhere else to go. He couldn't go to his best mate. He couldn't go to anybody else. He had to go directly to God. But what does that look like practically? What does that look like in our own lives when we strengthen ourselves in the Lord? And this is what we want to talk about today. How do we strengthen ourselves in the Lord when we are facing the wall? And how do we go through that wall? So Janet Hagberg and Robert Gulick wrote this book called The Critical Journey. And in this book, this fascinating book, highly recommend it, they go through the 6 stages of the Christian walk. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through all of them. I'm not going to expand even on the 4 that I want to talk about today. But I just want to highlight them because I want to show you where the wall has a tendency to appear in this process. Now, the first stage of our Christian journey, of our journey of faith, is called the recognition of God stage. And this is where we are filled with awe upon recognition of who God is. How many of you remember a time like that, right? It's a romantic period with God. You're just recognizing how awesome he is and how much he loves us. That's the beauty of this recognition stage. That's stage 1. And it's great to have that aspect of our lives all the time. What ends up happening too is that we want to mature ourselves. So we move to the stage of discipleship. And so in this stage, this is where we're learning about God. We have mentors pouring into our lives and we learn about him. But in order to move to the next stage, we need to be activated. And so this is the stage of productivity. This is where we are doing for God. So all that we've learned, all that we have loved about God, we now exemplify in the way we live our lives, which moves us to the 4th stage. And the 4th stage is the journey inward. Now, on the journey inward, it's where we begin to recognize the magnificence of God, but also how that plays out in our lives. And some of that stuff is easy to understand, but a lot of times when we face, especially things like crises, right? When you face a faith crisis, or you face a life crisis, when stuff happens in your life, you have to recognize, God, how real is the God of the Bible in my life? It can't just be theoretical. It can't just be intellectual a reading of the scriptures. You have to actually see Yahweh in your life. And that's when we reach the wall. That's where every Christian in some shape or form within their journey will eventually reach this wall. This wall is like a spiritual blockage to us. And so what I want to talk about today is, how do we see ourselves walk through the wall? It's like the old Sunday school song. You can't, so high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it. You just got to go through it. And we're going to talk today about what God wants to do with the wall, what the wall looks like, and how we go through it. Now, in Critical Journey, the book, they talk about the wall being when our will meets God's will face to face. That sounds beautiful, right? But in our will facing God's will, we begin to see that our will sometimes doesn't line up with God's will. And that's often the wall. So we decide anew every day, facing this wall, whether we're going to surrender our will in exchange for His will. And again, this is easier said than done. Sometimes we're going to face certain situations where we see our will, what we want to achieve in our lives, does not line up with what He wants for us. In fact, those things that we really hold dearly, God begins to pinpoint those things at the wall. How do we come to the wall? We come to the wall, we enter the stage of facing the wall through, number one, like I've mentioned, we face crises, right? Loved ones that pass away. I've gone through that sort of situation where within the space of 10 days, I lost my mother-in-law and my father in two different nations and had to fly from the Philippines to Singapore to New Zealand, all within this period of grieving. And there's those questions that we face in these times of crises. God, are you real? And if you're real, how could you do this? And these sometimes are walls that we face where God is purposefully silent so that we will lean into Him, so that we will trust Him. Another way that we can face this wall is we just get bored spiritually. We become so enraptured with things that happen in life that spiritually it's just not cutting it. We grow bored in our walk with God. And then alongside that, there's a deep longing for other things. There's a deep longing and we're finding that, you know, churchianity is just not fulfilling us the way that we should be fulfilled. But this is good that we face the wall, because then we start to see what our Christianity actually looks like. You know, because we start to see, wow, is my Christianity based on my activity for God? And God begins to show us, again, our will in line with His will. His will was never for us to live out our Christianity solely based on activity, but our activity should be solely based upon Him. And so that's often what happens at the wall. Now let's break down ways that humans often try to break down the wall or climb over the wall or go under the wall or figure out how to kung fu kick the wall down, but always fail. Let's figure out some of the ways that we may have tried, maybe not you, but maybe you have a friend, maybe it's just me, right? Have tried to get past the wall. Number one, maybe you have a strong ego, so you try to talent your way through the wall. So you think that just because you're gifted a certain way, not recognizing where that gift initially came from, that maybe you can ride that gift all the way through the wall. Maybe you're a great preacher, so you can preach your way through the wall. Maybe you're a great rugby player, so you just try to tackle your way through the wall. Maybe you're a great business person, so maybe you can form a business strategy that will make lots of money to drill through the wall. But how many of you know that doesn't work? That doesn't get us through. You can't sing your way through the wall. It's not based on the voice. We must understand that all of this should point towards the one who gave us these gifts and these talents and these egos in the first place. The next one is to be guilt and shame ridden. And so we try to go under the wall, only to realize that the foundation of the wall is just as big as the wall is itself. And the way we do this is often because the wall represents certain guilt and shame because of past experiences, past things that have happened to us. And so we become defined by those things. We become defined by our struggles rather than giving our struggles fully over to God. And I know, again, this is easier said than done, and I'll get to how we do that in just a moment. But we can't go under the wall by trying to outshame one another. What the New Age movement might try to do with, in light of our guilt and shame, is try to celebrate our humanness. And in celebrating and meditating on our humanness, trying to empty ourselves of these troubles through just meditating on who we are, celebrating our brokenness. Yes, we are broken, but we must bring that brokenness towards the Lord. It's not just to sit there in our guilt and shame and trying to dive under it to break through. You will never break through that way. The third type of way that we try to get through the wall is to intellectualize our way through it, try to reason our way through it. We think that the wall can start an argument with us, and so we try to argue with the wall, and we think that we can outwit the wall, only to realize that, you know, our intellectualism, our ethereal thinking can't penetrate the wall. We can't think our way through the wall, because our thinking does not arrive in the way we live out our lives. And so we must realize that our intellectualism, our knowledge, does not help us break through the wall. And then lastly, this is where I've fallen short in trying to break through the wall, is we try to high achieve our way over the wall. We try to build a wall that's bigger than the wall so we can jump over that wall, because we're all in celebration of, look at my wall, isn't it amazing? It's bigger than the wall that's in front of me, so I'll try to jump over it based on my achievement. But we can't achieve our way over the wall. And this is the trap that we fall into, especially if you came from a background where you experienced performance orientation, or maybe you grew up in a religious background where your Christianity before was always based on what you do for God, and so you try to outdo God. We can't do that either. That's not going to break through the wall, because what it leaves us with is still this emptiness that we all have to deal with inside. Just acknowledging the emptiness is not good enough. To clothe it, or to try to climb over it, or pole vault our way over through our intellectualism or our achievements, is not going to cut it. We have to face the wall. Let me read you a quote from the book. It says here in Critical Journey, "The process of meeting the wall requires going through the wall, not underneath it, over it, around it, or blasting it. We must go through it brick by brick, feeling and healing each element of our wills as we surrender to God's will. Our ego and will are transformed and made new. They are not transcended or risen above. We do not learn to get rid of them, but to submit them." So how do we get through the wall? Now, before I talk about going through the wall, I need to give you a few disclaimers. The first disclaimer is that some of us will be faster than others in breaking through the wall. Some of us may take years to get through the wall. Some of us, we could break through the wall today. Some of us are already on the other side of the wall. Some of us don't even have a wall yet. And we're like, where's our wall? I can't see my wall. Look, don't worry about this. If you haven't faced the wall yet, let this be in preparation. Not to haunt you, but to enjoy it, because it's actually an enjoyable process. The wall can be a blessing if you begin to know what God is doing in the process. Now, here's the thing. Number one, don't compare yourselves. Number two, you don't climb over it. You don't go under it. You can't get around it. You just got to go through it. And the way we go through it is going through it by tearing down brick by brick by brick. Sometimes the wall is our defense mechanism that we put up because our will doesn't look like God's will. And so we put this wall up to protect us. But sometimes it's a wall of just straight up circumstance that God wants us to break through. Maybe it's a situation like the book of Job, where God is trying to see, well, I'm going to put you to the test so that you'll lean into me. You'll lean closer into me and you'll trust me, because I'll bring breakthrough. Now, here's what God desires for us to do. So the first thing we've got to do when facing the wall is recognize that we're near the wall, right? And it feels like discomfort. Others describe it as the dark night of the soul. And this is where God can feel distant. This is where you feel isolated and alone. And many of us that may be watching this may be feeling this way. But that's only the first step. And I urge you to not stay there. Not just to recognize the discomfort that you're facing. Because for those of you who are athletes, understand the power of discomfort. The power of discomfort brings strengthening. When you're in the gym and you are working out, you are pushing muscles beyond their capacity so that you can break through the pain barrier in order to strengthen and tone whatever it is you're trying to do, or be able to accelerate faster or push hard or jump higher, whatever it is you're trying to achieve. And it's always pushing past barriers of discomfort. But yet in our spiritual lives, when we face discomfort, we'd rather shrink back into comfort rather than lean into the discomfort. Which brings me to the next point. Surrender. We've got to surrender something. We've got to give something up. And usually at this stage where it begins to hurt is usually because God is trying to pinpoint something in our identity that's not in conformity to His will. And so we lean into that. We surrender it to Him. And we must ask ourselves, what is it that God, you are calling me to surrender at this stage as I face the war? Maybe it's my ability to control circumstances. Maybe it's my desire to perform or to see things accelerated. I want it now. Maybe God's teaching us patience and long-suffering. Maybe God's teaching us to love one another. What is it that God's trying to teach us? And usually it's pinpointed by something that we need to surrender, something that's closer to us, because the more discomfort we face is usually in line with the centrality of that thing that God is calling us to surrender, to give up, to relinquish control of. So in that period of surrender, we must give up and let God. Many of us have heard the Christian adage, right? We let go and let God, or we let God be God, and that requires surrender, which brings us into the next stage, which is the healing that takes place when we surrender. But the healing can only take place if the band-aid is removed, if the bandage is removed, and you allow the healing self of the Holy Spirit to begin to address whatever it is that needs to take place. Maybe it's psychological, but even deeper than that, most probably it's spiritual, that God is calling us to submit our hearts, our minds, our bodies, ourselves for this healing to take place, so that we can, brick by brick, tear down this wall, this barrier that will move us to the next stage. Now, as this healing takes place, we move into this four-step cycle. And this four-step cycle involves awareness, forgiveness, acceptance, and love. In the awareness stage, we are aware of the shadow, and the shadow that we have, the shadow sides. And these are frequently exposed by that which we dislike in other people. And usually when we dislike things in other people, it's usually God, by His Holy Spirit, revealing things in our own character that need to be removed so that the wall can be torn down. Secondly, we need to forgive. We need to forgive others and forgive ourselves. And we need to soak in this phase. It's not just quickly done, oh, I forgive you, but being able to release in the soak of this forgiveness, understanding that we need to soak in His forgiveness in order to be able to step into that forgiveness of others and of ourselves. And as we fully absorb ourselves in this forgiveness, we move into acceptance. We accept, and this is the hardest part of this four-step process, right? The acceptance of the tendencies that we have. We can't shield those tendencies. For instance, we may notice certain things emerge out in our character. Some things need to be celebrated. Like maybe you've got a great sense of humor. Maybe you've got a great sense of fashion. But you've got to notice that sometimes those things can be perverted, right? Like maybe you've got a sort of humor that's cutting you. You're mocking people. Or maybe your fashion sense is to shield your insecurity sometimes, because you have to be overtly dressed and flamboyant. And there's nothing wrong with that. But is it trying to shield something that's going on inside of us? So you learn to be aware and accept who you are, but it's not accepting in terms of holding on to them, but it's submitting these things that God reveals about our characteristics towards His cross. Say, for instance, if I'm so overly confident that I'm arrogant and I feel the need to tell everybody about something that I've done, it's usually exposing the character of insecurity. I lack security in who I am. I lack security in God. And so again, I've got to understand as I'm accepting these facets of my personality and then realizing, man, these things are in existence in my life, then I need to submit them to God. And so that's what we do in accepting these things in our lives. And then lastly, as we begin to embrace ourselves as children of God, we begin to love ourselves for who God has created us in the image of God. And then we love others out of the overflow of that. And that's how we break through the wall. And again, it's going to be quick for some of us, but for a lot of us, it's just going to be slow, because God's constantly picking bricks away. You just got to be aware of how His Holy Spirit moves. Don't compare yourself to others. They're all on their journey. Some are going to accelerate through that wall. Some are just going to sit by that wall. The beauty of the wall is that it's an opportunity for us to stop and pause and be with God and just understand the work that He's doing in us through this process. It's a process we've all got to walk through. So for those of us who are at the wall, maybe you've recognized through everything that I've been talking about that you're at the wall. what do we do right now? Firstly, I want to encourage you, man, develop a closeness to God at the wall. Maybe he's just calling you to stop. Recognize there's a wall, but there's a Lord of the wall. And that we can just take time to develop our intimacy with God, just to be with him, for him. Yes, he's Lord of the breakthrough, but before all of that, he's Daddy. How about we enter into a deeper relationship with the King of the universe, who is also our Father and calls us into friendship with himself. Use this as an opportunity to develop stronger intimacy with God. Secondly, I want to encourage you to operate with discernment. Asking yourself, God, what are you doing while I'm here at the wall? What is it that you're calling me to slow down, to reflect upon? What is it that you're wanting me to recognize in this wall? Are there things in me that you want to work in? Because I'd love to see you work in them. Make me aware of what you want to do. Lord, do you want me to rest in you? Do you want me to lay down in green pastures and be led beside still waters so that I can be with you? Do you want me to walk in a deeper relationship with you? How do you want me to do that? Discern what God's will is. And through that, we develop a stronger sense of the prophetic as well, because we are asking ourselves, God, how do you want me to operate while I'm facing this war? While I wait, I will yet praise you. And then lastly, and most obviously, use this as a time for reflection. Take time in your intimacy with God, in your discerning, to actually enter into solitude to reflect. Because it's like Revelation 12:11 says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and not loving this life even unto death. So when you think about this wall, think about overcoming the wall by firstly, right, the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus has done for us on the cross. He's broken through every wall, broken every chain, broken every barrier. He calls us to overcome by the word of our testimony, by reflecting, by taking time to reflect in our moments of solitude by the wall on just how good he has been and continues to be. And then thirdly, not loving this life even unto death. Let me tell you that at the wall, there's going to be all sorts of temptations to just give up. The enemy is sitting on the wall like Humpty Dumpty. And he's saying, man, you're never going to break through this wall. God's given up on you. He's going to start lying to you. You know what? You can go with that old ex-boyfriend of yours. You can go and, you know, just do this job that I know will cause you to stumble and fall back into old patterns. You know you can go back into that old lifestyle. Don't trust God. That's why the wall is there. But in the facing of the wall, God is developing stronger Christians who have a stronger intimacy with him and are stronger in conveying the gospel to the world. And trust me, the breakthrough on the other side from the journey inward is the journey outward. And God wants to take you on that journey. He wants to continue in this journey with you. Let me pray for you as we close this part of the message today. Father, I thank you so much that you sent your son Jesus to walk with us, Lord, through hills and valleys. And even as we face walls, we thank you, Lord, that we face them not alone. We're not isolated. We remove the lie of the enemy that would say that we are isolated and alone. Father, I thank you that you'll walk with us. I thank you even for the community of faith that we have here at Every Nation Brisbane with other Christians that have all faced walls, that we will walk together through the wall. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for you, the wall breaker, are with us. You, the good shepherd, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Wow, what a lovely message from Pastor Nelly. Don't know about some of you guys, but I learned a lot in that message. I learned that I should take notes more often. Because I can really come away and reflect on this. This is something fabulous to do. I know a lot of you do that. Really resonated with me what Pastor Nelly was saying about that don't compare yourself to others when you're at the wall. It's so damaging. It's so damaging when you're looking over the fence, looking at somebody else. Oh, they've got it better. Things are better over there. They've got life so much easier, you know, or they look better than me. They're stronger than me. They've got more money than me. They're closer to God than me. all this kind of stuff, it really destroys you, eh? And I was sitting there thinking about that. I was like, oh man, like if I think about the enemy, really, that's how the enemy tends to successfully sow into my life before the truth of God comes and just destroys it. And I don't have to compare myself to other people because I'm a son of God. That's all I need.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.